This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All righty, thanks for joining us. It's a Friday morning on SB Nation AM. It's Tony D and Ron Culver, and we'd like to hit you up. If you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We've been talking about college basketball because we are in the process right now of really sorting this out before the conference tournaments. And we earlier this morning, we talked to Shelby Mast, and we were asking him about the Big Ten. And he said 11 teams could get in. I kind of went and did the math on this and really took a look at the Big Ten standings. This might be one of the more remarkable seasons a conference has ever had in terms of its depth. And also the volatility of what has gone on in its standings. When you look at a teams that have gone up and down, where Michigan looked dead and now coming back alive to be in the top 25. When you have a team like Purdue that needed some help and bam, they were able to get a big road victory at Iowa. Then you have a team like Rutgers that looked like world beaters for a while, and everybody was writing little stories about them, and everybody was talking about what the Scarlet Knights were doing. And then what do you see? A drop off, a little bit of a plunge, and maybe they're starting to kick back up into it. But again, if you look at this conference and you said to yourself, okay, I want to find some teams in here. I want all the good teams that are in this thing to be in the tournament. Yeah, you're going 10 or 11 deep. That's how good the Big Ten is. On the flip side, the ACC, that has been a stalwart into this tournament, where they have been producing, you know, North Carolina is in, Duke is in, NC State is in. Now that you've expanded it, so you're going to include Louisville and Florida State and Syracuse and all of that. Well, that season hasn't really popped. That this year hasn't been one of the ACC's finest. A lot of it had to do with North Carolina struggles near the bottom of the conference standings. If they had a decent year, even if they didn't have an outstanding normal North Carolina year, even if they had just a decent 20-win season, they'd be in this group. But Florida State, Louisville, Duke, and Virginia are locked. Syracuse is on the bubble, and North Carolina State is on the bubble. But the Big Ten is going to have a big day on the 15th, a big day. As Shelby Mast told us earlier this morning, it could be 11 teams deep into the tournament. Coming up, why do you watch the NFL? Because to the Players Association, it really matters. I'll tell you why next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tony D, Ron Culver, thanks for joining us. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. So why do you watch NFL football? No, it's a serious question.
For the concussions?
For the cheerleaders?
Maybe. When they show them.
In all seriousness, this is a deep question to ask. For those of you that are NFL fans, and most of you are, why do you watch it? Why? Do you watch it because there's a attraction to the team, the team you root for? There is a relationship you have with that team, with that city, with that team, that is, it's hard to break. You get an emotional emotional currency from that relationship, right? You feel bad on Sundays when you lose, and you're elated when they win, and you're even more elated when they make the playoffs, and you're even more elated on top of that when they win the Super Bowl. Is it because that relationship is so embedded into your lifestyle that's why you watch, that's why you consume the product? And the reason this is important is because the NFL Players Association is looking at this new CBA. And this new CBA, as we've been talking about over and over, includes the 17-game schedule, and it also includes a new playoff format, but it also includes a share of the revenue pie, a different share of the revenue pie that benefits the players. Then now, there are some players who hate this new CBA, and a lot of them are very comfortable with where their lives are and the money that they're making right now. The risk of an added game is too much for them to cross that line. They'd rather stay at 16. They're comfortable with where they're at right now. But a lot of the kind of the foot soldiers of the league, right, the people that are in and out of this league, you know, 3 years and out, 2 years and out, 4 years and out, making some money but are quickly looking for a new career. This is the group that is very supportive of this because this means more money for the very brief time they're in the league. They're not going to have 20-year careers like Tom Brady. They're not going to have 10-year careers, 15-year careers like some other players, but they are going to be in this league enough to really set themselves up for a good portion of their life if they play their cards right and invest well, so they want to maximize their time when they're in this league. But Kenny Stills has made a really good comment, the Texans wide receiver, and he says that this league is nothing without its players. Now, you hear this often, right? You hear this mantra a lot, right? This league is not about owners. It's not about the shield. It's about players. It's about the players. Well, let's define that for a second. What does it mean when we talk about players? Are we talking about a level of players that are the current players? Are we talking about players in general, meaning the players that come and go constantly? The rosters change constantly. The retired players that leave and the draftees that come in. What is it about the players? Do the players have to be the best in the world, or can they be players in general that can get the job done, albeit in a less way than the top pros of football? What are we talking about when we say that? Because it matters, because in Kenny Stills' world, you are watching for them. You're watching for J.J. Watt. You're watching for Aaron Rodgers. You're watching for Tom Brady. You're watching for, you know, Joe Burrow playing for Cincinnati or Baker Mayfield. You're watching for the players that are on the team and not the team or the league itself. And there's a distinction here, because what the players want to say is, look, you can have the shield. You can have city pride. You can have a relationship with an organization your entire life. But what you really, really want on Sundays is to watch us play. But again, what does he mean by us? Because if you have a league with no players, you don't have a league. But if you have players with no league, you don't have a league. Would I watch Kenny Stills play in the XFL? No. I'm sorry, I wouldn't. Would I watch J.J. Watt in the XFL? Maybe out of curiosity, but I don't have a relationship with the XFL. I don't have a relationship with one of these teams. I'm not a diehard Seattle Dragons fan where I'm following them on a daily basis and looking at their transactions and looking at how they, you know, how they're processing their upcoming opponent. I am not, this hasn't been embedded into my sports culture like the Steelers have from my youth.
Let me paint one scenario for you. Why, and this is the reason why you would watch J.J. Watt in the XFL. It's the same reason why you'll watch some of these soccer stars from other parts of the globe come and play in the MLS.
Just for the novelty of it.
Just for the novelty, but also because, like, you know, I always use this example over and over again. When I saw Kaká play, who was a former World Player of the Year back in the early 2000s, when I saw him play, this was 2 years ago for Orlando, he looked incredible. He looked like the World Player of the Year from, you know, a decade earlier. And that's, I think, what you would get out of J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt obviously is older. Maybe what? He has maybe like two really good seasons left in him in the NFL, if that, you know, barring no injuries. You could see him in the XFL and be reminiscent, I fully believe this, be reminiscent of the J.J. Watt a few years earlier.
Sure, but at the same time, the overall thought process is, if I'm not emotionally attached to the MLS and I'm just watching Kaká, I'm not really invested in the product.
No, you're not. You're watching.
And I'm not really invested in the XFL, no matter who they bring. If all of the players in the NFL bolted the league, struck from the league, canceled their contracts, and went to the XFL, it would certainly get a boost in interest, but you would still need a few years under the belt to get the passion for the fans embedded, where they're literally going to their water coolers on Monday going, I can't believe we lost to them. I think this coach needs to be fired, and they better figure this out at the draft. Where you have that conversation daily about this league, daily, because the league has been around a long time. It celebrated its 100 years, and that means generations of passing this down, right? Whether you live in Green Bay or you're a Dallas fan or you're in Pittsburgh or you're in New England, whatever it is, there is this sort of sports culture that the NFL is in that the XFL is not in now. Now, 40 years from now, maybe that's the case. Maybe if it survives that long, maybe that's the case.
So I don't even know
But I don't think, I just have a hard time following it. So I want to give it the benefit of the doubt. But Kenny Stills is right, but he's also wrong. Because he's right that, yes, I of course want the players. I need the good players. And I want my team to gather as many of them as possible in whatever capacity they can through the draft, free agency, or keeping the good ones on the team through contract negotiations. But at the same time, I don't necessarily need this brand of players. I don't need these particular guys. Because the NFL has proven time and time again that because of the helmets, these guys are just interchangeable. One guy will retire and the next guy comes in and you'll just deal with the product. You'll miss J.J. Watt when he's gone, but you're not going to stop being a Texans fan. You're not going to then stop processing how the Texans can get better.
And that's right? Where the problem lies, because a lot of our fandom comes from parents, maybe grandparents. You know, we're instilled with this belief of, you know, you got to like this team.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's regional. Sometimes you can get attached to a team because, I was living in Southern California, didn't have a team, so I latched onto the Chargers because it was the closest NFL team we had and, became a Charger fan. Even though, a lot of people growing up were, when I grew up in L.A., a lot of them were still Raiders and Rams fans. It's that part of it I don't really see happening for the XFL. You say 40 years from now. I don't even see it happening 40 years from now because I still think, 40 years from now, the NFL is going to be stronger than it is now.
Yeah,
which
but
is
it's
hard
still,
to fathom.
But at the same time, how much is on your plate, right? So how much is on your plate liking four teams, right? If you live in a hockey town, and even if you don't. But yeah, there are some people who still go, yeah, but I still got room for the MLS. There might be room in Seattle to love the Seahawks and then go right to the Dragons 40 years from now.
Yeah, until right? Supersonics get back there.
Right, yeah, or the Krakens, whatever, whatever
Kraken,
new version yes. of what Seattle may
well,
be putting together.
Team.
Yeah, that could be the hockey team. I keep seeing that name, and I keep thinking that they are going to be the Krakens, the hockey team.
That's the hockey team that's going in there.
But I'm sympathetic with the players. I've said many, many times, I'm a players guy. I always go back to the thought process. I said it last week, or maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, that we all say we play for free, but you wouldn't play for free if you saw how much money the owner would be making off of your talent if you had that talent. If you grew up always being the best football player, Pop Warner, high school, college, and then you got to the NFL and you saw the 70,000 people and you saw the television contracts and you saw everything that the NFL makes money on, you wouldn't do it for free because you'd want a piece of that because you're putting your blood, sweat, and tears into the product. So you'd want a piece of that. So I'm a player's guy. I want them to get as much money as possible because the money's going somewhere, right? The money ain't going back to you, right? People always say, these players should take less so I can take my kid to the game. That's irrelevant. That's not going to happen, right? This is a supply and demand culture. You can get tickets to the game if your team stinks. Trust me. Just find those secondary markets. You'll find them. You'll find cheap tickets, right? You'll find people trying to give them away. They're not really supposed to. They're supposed to go through the official ticket broker, but you can find them. But the reality is there's so much money. The owners are making so much money that the money's going somewhere. It's either going to them or it's going to the players. And I'm a player's guy. But I disagree with Kenny Stills on this. I don't think that this current group of players are so important to the league that they deserve even more of the pie because of who they are. I think they deserve it because they're just players. And you can take about, and that means players 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 25 years from now, not the particular players of today, but just players in general, what we classify as players in general. And the league almost pulled this off, in 87. They almost pulled this off with replacement players. People stayed away, but the fans would have continued on if that was going to be the new norm. They would have said, okay, I may not like it, but I can't get rid of this product completely. And so I know that this is not these are not the same group of guys, but eventually they'll be drafting the kids from college and we'll be right back to the normal, because I do think the relationship you have to the team, the relationship you have to the importance of the league, winning a Super Bowl is a big deal. I try to explain it to non-sports fans, but if you root for a team and you win a Super Bowl, it's a big, big, big deal to people. And that doesn't go away because of who's playing, right? That group could retire and move on and another group will come in. But if you watch it because of the particular athletes that are on the field, then God bless you. But I think most people watch it because the wins and losses of the particular team they root for matter to them in whatever way it matters to them. And I think that's an important process. In that regards, I think the owners have a little bit of the upper hand. Because they're looking at a CBA that may not include J.J. Watt when it's done, or Aaron Rodgers when it's done, or any of these other stars, right? Or Patrick Mahomes when it's done. Who knows what would happen? You don't know. You can't count on it. You can't guarantee anybody in this league a 10 to 15 year career. You can't. You may think so because they feel invincible today at 24, but you can't promise them that, right? And that's where I think we're at with this. If it comes down to that conversation, I think the owners could win out. But I think if it comes down to just taking a bigger part of the pie because they're working more, they're providing another product, another game, then that's really the only argument you need, right? That's really where it stands. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Coming up next, Joey Chestnut strikes again. And this one's got a little bit more flavor. Next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation AM, it's Tony D, Ron Culver, and again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Having car problems, don't know where to go, maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down, so let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With the O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'Reilly.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So Joey Chestnut ate 32 Big Macs, and he did it in just over 38 minutes. 32 Big Macs. He is the hot dog champion, of course, but he's probably champion in a ton of other things that don't get a ton of exposure, like the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But 32 Big Macs in 38 minutes, is that harder to do than what he does at the Nathan's Hot Dog, given the breadish nature of the Big Mac sandwich?
Well, one would want to know, does he keep that singular piece of bread in it?
Very true. Does he take that out? Okay, so if the method of eating the hot dog is he is to just shove it, I guess dip it in water, shove it in. Does he take the Big Mac and does he do something with that, or is he just woof it down the way it is?
I don't know. 30, I mean,
Okay, each Big Mac is like 550 calories. So do the math. 32 times 550 is 18 trillion calories. That's more calories than every single human on the face of the earth has ever needed to survive.
But
did my math work out for that?
But no, that's enough calories for everyone currently on Earth to have.
Yeah, right. So the 32 Big Macs that he ate are enough calories for every single person, their caloric intake for the next forever. Right. That's how many calories he
consumed. Well, because, I mean, if you have 32 Big Macs, you can feed 30 people 32 Big Macs, right?
Well, if you had 32 Big Macs, that's you could give every single American 10 Big Macs and still have enough left over to set a world record.
Yeah.
That's the last time. That's the last math I can do.
Yep.
So 32 Big Macs, if you ate 32 Big Macs, that's enough to give every American in the United States, 325 million people, 10 Big Macs each, and you'd still have enough Big Macs to then set the world record. That's where we're going with math now. So good for him. I like Big Macs, but I don't know if you knew there was no ramifications, like you weren't going to gain 10 pounds or like you weren't going to get a little sick by eating it, do you think you could eat like four in one sitting if you were hungry? Could you eat five? Because 32 is a lot, man. I mean, obviously, he's a champion eater, but could you eat like five Big Macs in one sitting?
No, I don't.
I don't think I could.
I mean, after one.
I ate two once, and that was enough for
me. Yeah, after one, I'm usually pretty good. There are those moments where I'm like, I could add a second one.
I ate two. Can I tell you how I ate two once? I ate two. I took my kids to McDonald's one time, and my son was like 10, and he wanted to try a Big Mac, and he doesn't like condiments. Right? And he doesn't like ketchup. He's still to this day. He doesn't like ketchup or mustard or anything. He likes everything plain. So I told him, I said, this has like a special sauce on it. And he goes, no, I think I'd like it. And I go, he goes, it doesn't have ketchup or mustard? I go, no. He goes, it just has this special sauce. He goes, I think I'd like it. All right. So what does he do? He opens up the burger and he tastes the special sauce and he immediately goes, no, I can't eat this. And I go, I told you weren't going to eat this. So I gave him money. I should have said, that's it. You're not getting a thing, being a tough father. But I was sympathetic. I said, let's go up and get you the burger you want. And I ate his Big Mac because I'm not going to let that go to waste. I'm not going to throw it in the garbage. So I ate it. So that was two Big Macs. And that was enough. That was kind of sick. That was a little too much. And I like them. I like the sandwich. But it was a little too much.
Do you want to know some other records?
Yes. Tell me some other Joey Chestnut records because this seems impressive enough.
What I love is that it tells you what the record is, the time, the amount of calories, and the equivalent to.
Oh, who put this together? That's very brilliant.
So, burritos.
We're talking big, gigantic burritos?
I don't know how big the burritos are, but who doesn't love burritos, right?
Who doesn't love burritos?
He ate 14 and a half pounds of burritos.
See, I wouldn't want to be near him after he ate 14 pounds of burritos.
He did that in 10 minutes.
Wow.
It's a shade under 17,000 calories. But it's the equivalent to 55 plates of spaghetti.
Okay, that's crazy. So how is he doing this? Like, seriously, how is he doing this? Like, how does he get his stomach to a point where he can consume this without going crazy? And by the way, in all seriousness, how does he deal with the gas problem? Like, how does he deal with the...
Okay.
When he's ingesting all that food so fast, how does he deal with the bloated nature of eating food quickly?
I will take it a step further. How do others around him deal with the gas problem? Donuts.
Okay, donuts are delicious.
They are. 55 glazed donuts in 10 minutes.
55?
55.
See, I would get a sugar headache.
Yeah, which is the equivalent.
And I like myself some sugar, but I'd get a sugar headache.
That's the equivalent. I don't know if this is I guess the calorie intake is what the equivalent to is.
Right.
But it'd be 475 Hershey Kisses.
475 Hershey Kisses?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that sounds like fun.
That does sound like fun.
But, yeah, I don't know if it's like eating 475 Hershey Kisses in 10 minutes. I guess maybe in a way it is. But you definitely would have to have someone peel those things off because
I ain't doing that.
Sometimes, you know, one Hershey Kiss could take you a minute to peel.
Yeah. Every Christmas, my wife gets those, like, holiday Hershey Kisses and puts them in little bowls. And every year, it's the whole month of December, is just little silver wrappers, that little pieces of silver wrappers all over the couch and the chair, the floor. Like, my kids just will take a couple, eat them, and treat the couch like a trash can. Just chuck it and just be like, oh, well, it's nothing I can do.
This one might be the worst of all. 102 tamales.
See, man, I can barely eat like two tamales.
Right, which he did that in 10 minutes. It's roughly about 28,500 calories. But the equivalent to is why I said this is the worst of them all. Because what it's equivalent to is 11.4 days of food.
Holy mackerel.
According to the USDA.
Holy mackerel. And the USDA is pretty generous, aren't they, with the caloric... the average calories Americans need.
Yeah, so I mean, this guy ate 11 days of food in 10 minutes.
God, Lord. That's awesome. I'm reading now that in this summer, he ate 413 Hooters chicken wings in 12 hours on Chicken Wing Day.
Well,
so think about that for a second.
12 hours.
12 hours, though. He sat and ate 413 Hooters chicken wings. And because I'm still doing MSNBC math, that's 15 chicken wings every single second.
Okay, what I want to know is, because most eating competitions, was he allowed to get up and use the restroom? Or did he have to stay there the entire time?
Yeah, good question. Did he have to stay there the entire time and just have a thing of milk next to him?
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us. Tony D, Ron Culver, taking you through the morning. By the way, with basketball season really getting into full swing now, NBA, the teams are vying for playoff positionings. It's going to get closer and closer as we get to early April. The tournament is coming up. You got to get with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. Sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and you can start betting college and pro sports today. Every spread, every total, every winner or loser. You can even get those wild prop bets going, like who's going to win the NBA MVP. You know, the tournament's going to have some as well. Get the fastest to market odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, BetOnline. Head over to the website today. Use your mobile device. Use the promo code SBNation55. SBNation55. Receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, here's a fascinating story about what's going to be happening in about a month. The Masters. We talked yesterday about the possibility of coronavirus affecting the attendance, but that's not the story I'm going to do. The story is that Augusta National Golf Club is now a proud owner of a Wendy's fast food establishment near the golf club. Now, they spent $3.4 million on the deal to acquire the land that the Wendy's fast food restaurant is located on. And this is a growing trend with Augusta National. They are starting to buy lots and lots of land around the property. If you've never been to the Masters, okay, now you got to go back because it's changed now. But if you went back to, let's say, the 80s and 90s, and maybe even the 2000s, Augusta National Golf Club is a fascinating place because you're from Southern California, so you know the big golf courses like Riviera and places like that, right?
Well, not only that, but I often make this comment to my wife here in Houston. Because when you drive around, especially in San Diego, you can't drive anywhere like more than 5 miles without seeing a golf course.
Right, right.
So they're everywhere.
But the prestigious ones are usually locked away in housing districts, right? They're up in the hills. Yeah, they're up in the areas,
they're their
right?
own secluded area.
You go to Pebble Beach, right? There's not a Piggly Wiggly across the street from Pebble Beach,
Torrey Pines.
Exactly.
It's surrounded by a hotel and one hospital.
That's right. An ocean, beautiful ocean.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that on the that side of the
Augusta
course.
National Golf Club is right smack dab in the middle of like downtown Augusta. Like there are fast food restaurants and supermarket chains right across the street from the gate that you go into.
So what are you hinting at then?
So they're buying property to go. Let's own everything around us. Let's stop having a Hooters like 2 seconds from where our members are driving in.
Yes, but where will John Daly set up camp?
I know, that's a problem, right? Because John Daly needs to set up camp, and he ain't going 15 miles out of his way to do so. Part of the joy is that he gets to do it very close to Augusta National Golf Club. But this is a trend that Augusta has been trying to do. It's bought up houses. I mean, look, there have been modest homes around Augusta National. I know my father's company used to rent one. It's a nice little house, came with tickets. They'd rent it for the week. The owners would go out of town, probably paid their mortgage for the entire year with that 1 week.
Yep.
And, you know, that was it. Bought the house in like 65, right? Whatever it was.
Now, do you think they're buying the properties to get rid of some of the riffraff, if you will?
I think they are. I think they're trying to set themselves up like, we're going to make parking lots. We're going to cushion ourselves from the things that we don't like seeing outside of our window.
Maybe, develop their own resort hotel.
Maybe. Oh, would that be interesting?
Because
could they do that
for that 1 day a year?
Well, but you can't play there. So
right.
there's no need to have a 24/7 hotel.
Unless that one week a year pays for it the entire year.
I will never forget the first time I saw it. The first time I saw Augusta National. Now, I went there with my father, but I had been to Augusta before with a friend of mine from college. And we literally were driving, and we were just driving, because Augusta's not that far from Columbia, South Carolina. We were driving through Augusta, and my buddy goes, "Hey, you like golf, right?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "You like the Masters?" And I go, "Yeah." I go, "Look." And we just drove right past it. The gate and everything. Magnolia Lane. We drove right past it. I was like, wait a minute, it's right there? He goes, yeah, it's right there. And I look around and there's like a McDonald's and like a Piggly Wiggly and, you know, it's like, what? Like, I wasn't used to that. I was thinking like the country club was like, well, you got to go down this road, then there's another private road you got to take, and then there's like two more side roads, and then you get to the course. Like, I didn't know it was like I could do my food shopping and play Amen Corner all in one day. I can get 2-for-1 ribs at Piggly Wiggly and play the 12th hole all in like 2 hours. Like, I had no idea. I could get a value meal at Wendy's and also hit the back nine at Augusta National all within walking distance. I had no clue. And then when I went there, it was even more mind-boggling. I was like, this is crazy. This is one of the most prestigious pieces of turf on the planet. And it's right smack in the middle of everything. But you know what it reminds me of? And you would know this from Southern California, too. It reminded me of Disneyland. Yeah. Disneyland is this incredible theme park right in Anaheim, but they didn't have the wherewithal to just buy everything around it. Instead, people are like, here's a cheesy motel and a fast food joint and another cheesy motel and a tourist trap here. And we're going to, and like, it just surrounded the whole park. And that's what Augusta National is. When Bobby Jones made it, he probably didn't envision the 500 different fast food establishments that would just grow up around the golf course.
And in fact, I mean, maybe Bobby Jones has the same thought process as Walt Disney, where it was like, okay, I'm going to build another golf course, but this time I'm going to put it in the middle of a swamp and buy all the land.
Everything
around it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I wonder if this, because I have yet to go to Augusta. Maybe you know if you get that same feeling you do when you do go to Disneyland. Because when you're walking around Disneyland, you forget that you're in the middle of a city.
Yeah, no doubt.
So,
and that's true.
If you're walking a golf course in Augusta and you're looking around and it's beautiful and everything is pristine, do you forget that, oh man, you know what? Across the street is McDonald's.
Yeah, you do. You don't, because they do a really good job of hiding everything. They really, like, they've got it all. You never feel like the community of Augusta is right outside the gate. You don't feel like it. It's all really well bored, you know, well trapped up. And then you walk in, you're on these kind of, you know, incredible grounds. But, you know, God, I haven't been there in, you know, 30 years. So I don't really have that, you know, I don't know what it's like now, but I haven't seen where the parking lots are, how they've tore down houses. Because I imagine, can you imagine buying a house in like 1965 or 70? You buy this nice house in Augusta near the golf course, and every year you park cars in your yard, or you rent out your house with the tickets to companies that come in with clients, and then you're just making this money. And then Augusta comes, you know, Augusta National wants to buy your house because they want to buy a bunch of other houses and build a parking lot. And they go, yeah, how much did you pay for this? And they're like, I don't know, $25,000 back in 1973. And they're like, all right, we'll give you $1.2 million for the land. And you're like, oh my God, it's like winning the lottery. Now, you might be one of those people that's like, I don't want to move. I raise my kids here. I want to retire. Okay. You'll be I'm sure they're going to make it sweet to make sure they get your property.
Yeah, or do you keep holding out?
Yeah, you just keep holding out. Like all your neighbors have moved on, and you're just the one lone house. And they go, fine, we'll build it. We'll build the parking lot all around your property. Right. How's that?
Because what you're describing, I'm envisioning when I lived in San Diego, I had a house on a golf course, you know, and that's what I'm envisioning is that, you know, I had a back gate. Technically, we weren't allowed to play on that golf course.
Sure.
But when 5 o'clock hit and you knew that pretty much everyone was done for the day, because by where our tee was, you know, where we lived, the tee was early on in the hole, but it was away from, you know, the clubhouse. So we'd go out there, we'd just play that one hole over and over again because it was twilight. And we knew no one was going to be out there. So I wonder if you're able to do that. Like, you have one of those houses that kind of overlooks Augusta.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you can find a way to climb the...
But there's no houses on the course
itself,
right?
No. It's all fence. Yeah. Everywhere the property
ends. So it wouldn't work. Because this, I mean, it was a fence. But it was like a little back gate. We could just walk right on out.
Well, it's very interesting because when you get to Amen Corner, and I remember I was talking to this guy about this. Now, again, this was about 30 years ago when I went there, and I was kind of a young guy. And I was fascinated with the whole thing, but I was talking to one of the marshals that was there, and he was just kind of standing around. And I pointed to, if you remember, if you know where 12 is on the golf course, and then it kind of goes like you walk up off 11 and there's the big crowd, and then you turn and you see Rays Creek and you see the hole, and then there's the 13th tee right next to it. And that's where no fans are. But if you look beyond that, if you look beyond those trees, you'll find another golf course that's next to it. And that, I believe, is Augusta Country Club. So there's Augusta National, is Augusta Country Club. And back 30 years ago, when I was talking to this guy, he told me, he said, look, this is very, very prestigious. This is a very, very high-end golf course. But that's even more prestigious in this town. That's an even harder ticket to play. And I don't know if he was telling me the truth or not, but I've always heard that about Augusta Country Club. Augusta National, you got Wall Street guys, you got people from all over, but the people who live in Augusta, like that's the country club. Because it's hard to get into Augusta National from a national level, but locally that is. But that's a course right there. I bet you they've been trying to buy that course, that property forever too.
Oh, forever.
I bet they've been trying to figure out a way to sort of buffer themselves from that course as well. But now, you know, they're trying to eat up the land. I think there's a cool aspect to it, though. I think there is a cool aspect to this course, given Bobby Jones was an amateur, you know, all of that says, we don't mind that there's a Piggly Wiggly across the street. We don't mind that there's fast food establishments across the street. It doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect our broadcast. It doesn't affect our members. We're kind of cool with that. But them buying out and making it sort of plush, a little bit more expanded, I don't know. It's kind of a weird angle to it. But nevertheless, the Masters is coming up in a month, and there may not be any fans anyway, because the coronavirus may be wiping us out in the first place. There might be, you know, this is a serious deal. I mean, there's games being canceled.
Yeah, right, or over this. You know, no more handshakes. Yeah, everyone's got to do the Howie Mandel fist bump from here on out.
The county next to us here in Tennessee, they have canceled classes for today and tomorrow because we do have a case of the coronavirus in this area. And so they're basically wiping the school down, cleaning it up for the whole weekend. And people are kind of a little bit on alert. They're kind of concerned. They're wondering if certain basketball tournaments are going to be continuing, you know, all that. So
I'm just waiting because, we heard about I mentioned it yesterday, like the Serie A, Italian Soccer League, is playing behind closed doors for the month of March.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, could that ever happen? Would that ever happen with American sports? I mean, it's only the only time I ever remember was the one game in Baltimore that was due to riots, so that made a lot of sense. Yeah, you don't want to bring in a whole bunch of people where there's a riot going on in your city. I'm surprised they even had the game. But could you see that in the NBA or March Madness or Major League Baseball when it gets ramped up a month from
now? Yeah, no kidding. Especially the Final Four, that's going to be in Atlanta. Well, let's say Atlanta is just...
That's home to the CDC, so you should be okay.
Yeah, you should be okay.
CDC needs to go in there and just say, no, this is how you need to properly clean. They can take care of themselves.
That's where the Walking Dead people had to go in season one to see what the heck was going on with the zombies. Had to go to the CDC. That's right.
It's true. It's all right. Based around Atlanta. We're in trouble.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Tony Ron in the morning.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, Tony and Ron, in the morning. Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. As we have reached the Friday edition, regular seasons of college basketball all coming to an end this weekend. And then conference tournament time. Here, real quick, Ron, if I could give you one ticket only, maybe two, to take your wife or maybe one of your boys to any of the conference tournaments in the country, where would you like to go?
Ooh.
You could go to L.A. to see the Pac-12. Indianapolis to see the Big Ten.
I was just thinking Pac-12 because that puts me on the left coast.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But if I was going for basketball?
Just for basketball.
God, maybe still the ACC, which I don't.
I've always liked
why.
The ACC tournament. I've always thought that was always really cool.
Yeah, I don't.
Big East in Madison Square Garden?
Nah.
No?
I'd get kicked out.
you'd be like, the garden floor is on the fifth floor. It's on the fifth floor. You'd be in the elevator going, Spike told me it was on the fifth floor.
Yeah, I'm excited. Or I was not excited, but I was surprised to hear that. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. Yeah.
It's on the fifth floor?
It is. It is. I've been to the garden twice, and it is. It's true. Based on the entrance of the thing. Yeah.
Did you use an employee entrance? Or
yeah.
Did you go through the proper turnstile?
I went through the proper turnstile with all the other Gamecock fans for the regional finals.
There you go.
That's right.
That's the difference between you and Spike.
That's one of my favorite sports memories of my life, was just watching South Carolina beat Florida to go to the Final Four and going, oh my God, I thought I would never see this in my entire life. There were people crying.
Of course
there
were.
Like, crying. Now, I'm not that emotional about my team, but I got it. I got what they were doing, because that has never been a basketball school. I mean, you have to go all the way back. I mean, God, you have to go all the way back to like maybe the 70s when they had a really good point guard that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I think John Roach was his name. But other than that, like every now and then they had a good team that would just get out of the tournament in 8 seconds. But they got to the Final Four beating the Gators, and people were weeping how excited they were at Madison Square Garden. It was crazy fun. But all I kept thinking about when that train ride back home was just, I'm going to have so much fun at this. I can't wait to walk through the door. I got my wife a shirt. She doesn't even wear it. She's because I'm not wearing that. They lost.
Yeah.
I go, oh, but I got you a Florida Gators regional final shirt.
Yep.
I said I paid like $25 for this. She goes, I don't care. I'm not wearing that.
It's a runners-up t-shirt.
It's a runners-up t-shirt, exactly. This thing should be off to some third world country somewhere. We didn't get to the Final Four.
Exactly.
Right? I'm like, oh, well, that's okay. So, but still. Yep, Madison Square Garden floor is on the 5th. Spike gave us all that information earlier this week. Tony D, Ron Culver in the morning. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio.